I want to start out by reading from Jeremiah chapter 18. If you want to get your Bibles and follow along or just listen, Jeremiah 18 verses 1 through 11. I appreciate the invitation to come up here and speak tonight. I decided that I didn't like walking in here at 1 minute till 6. I know that probably gives people a little bit of heart palpitation sometimes, you know, and so I thought, okay, I'm going to make sure I get here on time. And I don't know what was happening. I was working on this lesson for tonight because I couldn't use what I had this morning. I was in the fourth of a series this morning that I was going through. So I didn't want to use that lesson. And so I'd been working on it and going along and hadn't really been paying attention to the time. And then I looked and you know, I determined, okay, I need to leave by 4:30. And I looked at some clock. I don't know which one it was, but it said 3:51. So I thought, oh, I've got to get busy. I've got to run over to the building and next door and get some things and stuff. And so I go over there and getting a little, trying to get everything together. And I look at my watch and it says it's 2:45. So, I mean, at my phone, it says it's 2:45. So I don't know what happened, but anyway, I can't remember why I started telling you that. Oh, I know, because I'm going to make sure that I get here in time. And so I left at 4:30 on the dot, and I drive up, and there's not a car in the parking lot. I didn't know you guys did like Marshalltown, because I always get here right up close to 6, you know, and I didn't realize all you were coming in at the same time, too. But that's the way they are at Marshalltown. You know, they don't get there till right at time to start, usually. And so I was a little surprised today, but that gave me a little bit of time to get ready anyway. So, we're going to start Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words." So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to do. And then the word of the Lord came to me, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done?" declares the Lord. "Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O lander or house of Israel. If at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I intended to do to it. And if at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it, and if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will relent of the good that I had intended to do to it. Now, therefore, say to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, behold, I am shaping disaster against you and devising a plan against you. Return every one from his evil way and amend your ways and your deeds." You know, perseverance is something that, as Christians, we are very well familiar with that. I mean, we know that we are well aware that we must persevere. I mean, most of us understand that, you know, it ain't over till it's over. We understand that we have to play till the final out. That it's never too late to turn things around. You know, this truth is both encouraging and it's a warning. It's encouraging because if our lives have gone a little bit in the wrong direction or started going in the wrong direction, we can turn around. But this truth is also a warning because what it's telling us is we can't turn away from God. We don't have the luxury of thinking, I have arrived, and so I can coast the rest of the way in. In other words, we've got to always be on our guard. You've seen football games where the leading team, they get to a point in the game where they can just take a knee and run out the clock because they've got the lead, they've got the ball, and they can just run out the clock. They coast to the end. It's not like that in baseball, is it? I mean, in baseball, a lead is never safe, and a loss is never certain until the final out. Because there's not a clock it's going to run out. As long as you've got another at bats, you've got a chance to score again and to win the game. You know, that's really the way it is in life. We're in a battle that doesn't end this side of heaven. We're in a race, running a race where there is no finish line this side of the grave. We can't get to the point where we can coast to the end. You remember the Apostle Paul, about the midpoint of his ministry, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 24, he said, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." You know, the Apostle Paul was probably one of the greatest Christians to have ever lived. I mean, he's one that we can look up to because of the kind of life that he lived. And yet he understood that he had the potential to wash out. He understood that he had the potential to lose it all if he didn't stay faithful to God. It was only at the very end of his life, after decades of service, when he was down in a Roman dungeon and he knew that his life was very near the end, that he wrote those words in 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8, where he said, "I have fought the good fight, and I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. And finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness." You see, Paul played to the final out. He lived his Christianity all the way to the end of his life. This passage in Jeremiah chapter 18, where Jeremiah talks about the potter and his clay, makes us think, you know, we are really a lot like the clay on the potter's wheel. And just like the clay in Jeremiah's story, there are places in our lives where we've become marred. The times when we've turned away from God, and when we got our lives going in the wrong direction, where we made decisions that led to disaster, or even where things beyond our control really messed up our lives, that caused our lives to go into a tailspin. But folks, there's something we need to understand, is it's not too late. I mean, as long as we're still breathing, it's not too late to turn and be right with God. Because God is able to take our mistakes, just like the potter with the potter's wheel. He's able to take our mistakes and He is able to mold something out of that mistake. Something good that can glorify Him. We are like the clay on the potter's wheel. But folks, there's a twist. We have something to do with how shapeable we are. There are things that you can do that will determine the shape of things to come in your life. Years ago, I went to Silver Dollar City. And I watched a potter sitting at the wheel making vases out of clay. And they were getting to be more and more people standing around just watching him as he would make these vases out of clay. And after a while, he stopped and he said, "Would someone like to volunteer to try this?" And one big old guy said, "Yeah, I will." And so he went and he sat down at the wheel and the potter got him this ball of clay and he put it on that thing and he started that thing spinning and he gave him some directions, said, "You go and you touch it very easy and stuff." And he touched it and he made a mess. He didn't make a vase. I mean, he didn't make a pot. What he made was a glob. And then in a little bit, the potter comes up behind him, takes his hands and puts his hands over his, and he begins to shape and mold, and you could watch that as he made a pot out of it. No, that's really kind of what God does with us. He shapes us and He molds us as long as we're pliable, as long as we allow Him to do that. You see, there's a sense in which you participate in the molding process in your life. You're not just a helpless whim of circumstances. You're not even just a mere cog in God's grand scheme of things. You see, you are a participant in His work in your life. And that's what I want us to understand tonight. So what I want to do tonight is to talk to you about what you can do to take part in shaping your life, shaping your future. In this passage in Jeremiah chapter 18, we find three attitudes that we need to develop. So let's look at these. Number one, for God to be able to use you, you have to be teachable. Here in Jeremiah 18, verses 1 and 2, the scripture says, "The word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, 'Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words.'" God sent Jeremiah down to the potter's house so that Jeremiah would hear the word of God. In the same way, you need to be willing to go to the place where you can hear the word of God. Now, obviously, this is one of those places, isn't it? I mean, you've got people who preach the word. You've got people who teach the word so you can hear the word of God. But where else can you do that? Let's think outside of geographical places. Where else? How about a spiritual potter's house? What I'm talking about here is that we need to make it so our heart is willing to accept the Word of God, no matter where you are geographically. You need to be willing to accept the Word of God. You see, the important thing for us is not that we show up here for worship or we sit still in worship. What's really important is that we open up our hearts to hear the Word of God. I mean, when you study about the Jews, as Jesus was coming to the close of his ministry, you hear Jesus over and over and over again saying, I'm the one who's been promised. I'm the Messiah. I'm the one you're looking for. And those Jews didn't understand it. Now, why? I mean, it's as plain as it can be. He said it. But their hearts were closed. That's why they didn't understand it. That's why they didn't accept it. I mean, you've had this happen in other things before, and I have too. One day I spent 30 minutes looking for my glasses until I finally realized they were on my face. Now, all that time I'm looking for them, and I can't see them because I'm looking through them. My mind was made up that they weren't on my face, so I didn't look there. We can do that with a lot of things in life, and we especially can do that with the Word of God if we won't open up our hearts and be teachable for what the Word says. There's something that I've learned over the years, and that is that, you know, even if the preacher is boring, even if it doesn't seem like he has an especially good lesson, you can still get something out of it if he's preaching the Word. If your heart's open. But you can also close your heart so that you don't get a thing out of it. Even though what the preacher says may be something you need to hear. So when you come here to assemble with one another, one of the things you got to do is make sure you open your heart. But not just here. You need to have your heart opened all the time in other situations in life. You look here in the story. You know, what I'm trying to get at here is, folks, I'm not just talking about Sundays. I'm talking about every day of the week, where we need to have this kind of attitude. We need to go to that place, that spiritual potter's house, every day, and seeking God's Word. You know, there's enough power in the Word of God to change your life. That's why Paul said it's good for teaching, for rebuking, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God be made complete. He knew there was power in the Word of God, and we got to be willing to listen to it, to hear it. But when you have a teachable spirit, you don't just learn from the Bible, but you learn from everything that happens all around you. Here in Jeremiah chapter 18, God told Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house. You know, that was something that in Jeremiah's day, they could see happening every day. And yet Jeremiah went that day, and because his heart was open, God was able to teach him a spiritual truth using something that happened every day in their lives. The reason that happened is because Jeremiah had a teachable heart. We need to have a teachable heart. That's number one. Number two, and I'm not going to spend as much time on the other, so don't worry. Number two, for God to be able to use you, you have to have an adaptable heart. You need to be adaptable. Look at verse 4, or listen to it. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to do. You know, it's kind of fascinating to watch a potter when he's working with that clay. He takes this lump of clay and it keeps changing form until it starts to become a bowl or a cup or a vase or some other kind of piece of art. And it's really interesting what he's able to do. But the reason it happens is because the clay is moldable. It's pliable. It's adaptable. Years ago, when I first moved to Iowa, I was figuring that out a little while ago, thinking, okay, I was 26 years old. 1978, moved to Iowa. And I had to learn some things about Iowa. I grew up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and learned how to drive a car in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And the way you drive a car there is you get in the car and you push the accelerator all the way down and you go. If you're going to keep up with traffic. And you drive on the highway with about a car's length between you and the car in front of you going 70 miles an hour. But you know what I found out when I moved to Iowa? That doesn't work here. Especially in the wintertime. I was 26 years old. It took me a while to learn this lesson, but I found out in Iowa, you got to slow down. You got to start stopping a long ways before you normally would when you got good roads. And if you don't, you're going to end up in a ditch, you're going to end up spinning and not know which direction's what, or you might even be upside down, or you're up against some other vehicle. I had to learn to adapt my driving from what I had originally learned. Now, you guys, you've lived here, you understand that. You know, some of you grew up learning that. And I think probably as you, when you're a young person, I don't know how well, I know your name starts with a C, but it just flipped my... This is what happens when you get in your 60s. Cameron, okay. Cameron, I'm sure your mom and dad have been telling you, you got to slow down, you got to go slow, got to give space, you know, because youth doesn't like to do that either. But you learn, you have to adapt to the circumstances around you. Well, that's what I'm saying that we have to do if God's going to use us, is we've got to learn to adapt. It's been said that the last seven words of a church are, we've never done it that way before. And you know, I think there's some truth in that, because if you get to thinking that way, and you won't change, you're going to lose your influence on your community. I'm not talking about changing doctrine. I want you to understand that. I mean, that's what a lot of religions have done. They decided to reach the community. They've got to change their doctrine, and they've got to make something that's easier for people to accept. And that's not what I'm talking, because we can't do that. But we can change our methods and how we reach people. But we can't change the word. We can't change doctrine at all. But when a potter is at the wheel, have you noticed what he does? He keeps putting water on his hands. And sometimes he'll even put some water on the clay. Not much. If he puts too much, it just kind of dissolves. But he knows he's learned the right amount. He puts a little bit on there. But why does he do that? To keep it pliable. So it will adapt, so it will change, so it will move. You know, in the Bible, water is used to symbolize many things. Purification from sins, the presence of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit. If you think about it, these are three things that we need to be seeking for constantly. I mean, we need to be asking for God's forgiveness. Is cleansing us of our sins every day. We need to be seeking God's presence, to be close to Him, to seek His Word. We need to learn to live in His presence. You see, if you want to make the most of your future, you've got to be adaptable. Now, number three, for God to use you, you have to be accountable. Going back to our text here in Jeremiah chapter 18. At this point, God was pretty unhappy with the nation of Judah. He was unhappy with the direction that Judah had taken. And through the prophet Jeremiah, he told them that nations that do evil are going to be destroyed. They will be destroyed. You know what Judah did? They continued right along the same path, rebelling against God. And so God said, well, He sent them this message. Verse 11, He said, "Now therefore, say to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, behold, I am shaping disaster against you and devising a plan against you. Return every one from his evil way and amend your ways and your deeds." God called everyone to accountability. He wasn't just telling the leaders, "Hey, leaders, straighten up." He was telling every citizen of Judah to turn from your evil ways. Have you ever noticed how we want to blame others? We've got problems in our nation, so it's our president or it's our Congress. And they might have something to do with it, but they're not the only ones to blame. We do that with our churches, don't we? We want to blame our elders or we want to blame our preachers. I mean, some people even think that big corporations are the cause of all of our problems. What do? We want to blame somebody else. But I want you to notice here, God's message through Jeremiah was clear. He said, I'm not just speaking to the kings. I'm not just speaking to the political leaders. I'm speaking to everyone. Turn from your evil ways, is what He says to them. In other words, those who make the most of their future, the ones who say, if it's to be, it's up to me. The one who say, I'm not going to stand on the sidelines and complain. I want to get in the game. I want to take part. We need to have this accountability. We need to realize that when there are problems, that we need to do something about it. Each one of us as individuals to make it better. You see, making your future better, or what it ought to be, comes down to a basic decision, daily decision, of getting in God's presence every day, of listening to His Word every day, of taking on responsibility every day. The words of Jeremiah 18 can be interpreted as an encouragement or as a warning. What it really tells us is that what you do matters. It never gets to the point where it doesn't matter what you do. The great news of this passage, though, is that it's never too late to become what we ought to be. There's still time, so run. Don't walk to the potter's house. Run. And allow Him to mold you, knowing that He's going to help you every step of the way. I think that's a great message out of Jeremiah chapter 18. It's one that we need to remind ourselves of. As we sing the song of invitation in just a moment, I want to encourage you to look at your own life and see where you are in comparison to what God says. Are you allowing Him to direct your steps? Is your heart open to God's Word? If you need to respond to the invitation tonight, then would you do that right now as we stand and sing?